to be able to share something that God's been speaking to me about. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would bless the thoughts that you've given to me. Lord, may we receive your thoughts, the things that you want us to understand and live by. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you'd enable us to be witnesses to you wherever you take us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to bring you up to date with Wayne, he's having to have a series of four operations, and Friday was the first one, and they've apparently sliced off some of the cornea, sounds bad, and put a little plastic cover over inside the eye. This is, you know, it's quite amazing. It's a new technique, so I think Wayne's part of the experimentation and the development of this technique. And then when that's healed, they'll take him in again to take the lens out and replace the lens in the right eye, and then follow the procedure in his left eye. The interesting thing when I went round to see him yesterday was that he didn't realise until they'd put the big black shade over his eye that his left eye was so bad that he couldn't read anything. So Wayne not being able to read is a very difficult thing. But it's a miraculous thing that he loves reading so much, because he had dyslexia so badly that reading was a problem to him. But he's doing quite well now. I want to read from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verses 1 to 7. Probably a story that you're very familiar with, but I hope we see something, as I've seen something new in it as well. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house, but a jar of oil." And he said to her, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, and you and your sons, then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were all full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Just the Lord will bless us. Now I want to look at three different passages of scripture today. The first one is in Exodus chapter 4. And in that passage, Moses is faced, it's only as I've read it through afresh that I realize that Moses just didn't want to serve God. He'd had enough. He had run away from the Egyptians. He had failed. From being a prince in Egypt, he'd become a shepherd in the desert. And God meets him at the burning bush and says to him, I want you to go and tell the Egyptians to let my people go. That's a brief way of looking at it. And Moses basically says, you've got the wrong man. And he goes on saying, you've got the wrong man, find somebody else. And then God says to him in chapter 4 of Exodus, sort of as a climax to his dealing with him, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. We'd probably say a stick. A crook. It was a tool of his trade now. He was a shepherd. He had this stick to help him get through the desert. He had it in order to guide the sheep and the goats and look after his father-in-law's flock. Something he used every day. Something that was common to him. But the thing that I see here is that God wants to take the things that we take for granted and show us his power, his authority. And that's what he did with Moses. What have you got in your hand? A stick. And God said, throw it on the ground. And you know the story. It turned into a serpent. And then he picked it up and it turned into a rod. And then he said, put your hand in your bosom. And he did it. And when he pulled it out, it was leprous. And he said, put it back. And he did. And he pulled it out. And it was normal. And he showed him several things with the water into blood. And Moses turns around and says, but I'm not eloquent. He was a prince of Egypt. He'd been trained. He was a general in the Egyptian army. And according to archaeologists, he was a successful general. But he didn't want to go back to Egypt. And God had to show him that he could use the things that Moses took for granted. And I think sometimes we need to learn that. Things that we take for granted and we don't quite understand. And God's saying to us this morning, what have you got in your hand? You're reluctant to serve me. You're reluctant to do what I want you to do. And I want to show you that I can take normal things and use them for your glory. I'm just reminded, even as I'm speaking, of an occasion in New Zealand where I'd gone out in a friend's car and we'd gone up in the hills and it just stopped. And I thought, well, it's something in the carburetor. So I had a look in the carburetor, and as I was dismantling it, something went boom, and the spring went shooting out and landed in all the long grass. And I hunted and hunted and hunted, and I couldn't find it, and I thought, well, I'm going to put it together again and just pray over it. And it went for 2 weeks before I put new spring in. And you know, in a way, the Lord was showing me something on that occasion. But what have you got in your hand? And we can sometimes think that we're of little consequence. Who am I? What can I do? How can I be used of God? I'm just an ordinary person. But God delights in taking ordinary people, like Moses thought he was now, no longer the prince of Egypt, but a shepherd. And you know, the Egyptians despised shepherds. That's why they gave the Israelites, when Joseph arranged for them to settle in Egypt, the land that was best for shepherding, but the Egyptians didn't want it. The world might despise people, but God can use those people. And I just want to ask you today, what have you got in your hand? God asked Moses that, and he said, a stick, a rod. Probably gnarled and chipped. He's used it every day. But if we commit what we've got, what we are, to God, God can use it and use us. And every complaint that Moses had, God answered. I want to go to 2 Kings. And this dear lady, her husband, who was a prophet, had died and left a debt. And the creditor was coming to take the sons, and this was legal at that time, and they would become his slaves to pay off the debt. There was no time factor in it. It wasn't that they worked for him for a year or 2 years or whatever. They became his property. But the other side of it that it doesn't say here, you know, emotionally, I can get upset about anybody being in slavery, or any mother losing her son in that way. But she wasn't just losing her sons to become slaves. She was losing her livelihood. Because as she got older, the sons would look after her. Remember, there was no pension. So her sons, that's where having a quiver full of sons was of great value in the psalmist's language. But the sons were very important to this lady, not just because they were her sons, because they were her future as well. God said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? Elisha said to the woman, what have you got in your house? Now that expands it a bit more. All the I didn't realize moving house was such a pain. We'd lived in the same house for 41 years, and I had to move. And we had so much stuff. Didn't notice it. Because it was in cupboards, it was in the loft, it was here and there. But to get rid of it was terrible. Everything had some emotional attachment to it. And people would say to me, do you want this? And I'd look at it and I'd think, so-and-so made that for his mum, and or they did this and they did that, and that came from here or there. And I remember when we bought that, but it had to go. Now, what have you got in your house? And she said, nothing. Could you say that? What have you got in your house? And then she remembered. There's a but in there. Nothing but a jar of oil. Couldn't do any cooking or anything out without the jar of oil. And Elisha said, go and borrow vessels from everywhere. And he put a phrase in there, empty vessels. Don't bring stuff unless it's clean and it's ready to use, but get these empty vessels, bring them, and start pouring the oil into the empty vessels. So they did what he said. They started pouring the oil into the empty vessels. And then she said to one of the sons, get me another vessel. And he said, there are none. We've used every vessel that we gathered. You see the key in that? The limit was not on the jar of oil. The limit was on the number of vessels that they gathered. Okay, I don't really fancy gathering vessels. I remember at school we had a big thing about collecting jam jars, and the school got a penny for every jam jar. And I remember going around knocking on doors and saying, excuse me, have you got any jam jars? And collecting them in my little go-kart and taking them off round home and storing them and making sure they were clean and then taking them to school. They could have been lazy. I remember one day taking my jam jars to school in my go-kart, not a motorized one, and other lads pinching my jam jars. They did it the easy way. The limit was the number of jars they collected. And when the jars were full, the oil ceased. If there had been more jars, there'd be more oil. It's like when Jesus turned the water into wine. You see, sometimes God asks us to do something and we do the minimum. Where when we do the maximum, there's a maximum blessing. What the lady didn't realize was that what was in those jars was her pension, was her provision for the future. The oil stopped when the jars ran out. And I believe God says to us sometimes, I want you to do this. And if you're like me, you have a habit of watering it down a bit. Doing the Moses, really, you've got the wrong person. Not me you want, it's somebody else. I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. I can't do this and I can't do that. You've got the wrong man. Collect the jars. Go and borrow the jars. Not a few, and only the empty ones. You haven't got time to clean them out. The creditor is coming. You've got to fill the jars and sell the oil so that you can pay the creditor. The challenge for us. There are some jars you need to collect. There's a challenge, really. You know, the Holy Spirit won't run out. But we need to be an empty vessel for him to fill. And he needs to fill us so we can be useful to God. So we can be effective. And Elisha said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Their sons weren't a pension anymore. They were her sons. Through Elisha, God had provided for her. The other passage that I want us to think about is in John 6. And John 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. Now, when you look at it, John 6, 1 to 14, feeding of the 5,000. It actually says that there were, in Matthew 14, that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So, you know, we minimize it, don't we? 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000. It was the feeding of the 5,000 plus. So if you want to check me out, it's Matthew 14 and verse 21 that says there were women and children there as well. But Jesus challenges the disciples. And he says to Philip, where should we buy bread that these may eat? All the people were coming round, and Jesus looks on them and sees a need. They're tired. They're hungry. Where can we get the bread to feed them? In the other renderings of this passage, of this account, the disciples say, send them away that they may eat, that they can go and buy bread. But Jesus says, where shall we buy bread that they may eat? And I find very often that as Christians we look and we see a need and we think somebody else should be doing something. We see a need and we think the church should do this. And we don't mean our church, we mean the church. And Jesus sees a need and says, how are we going to meet this need? Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, but every one of them may have a little. That was really 8 months' salary, 200 denarii. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish,
But what are these among so many? See Andrew three times in John's Gospel. First of all, at the very beginning with Peter. And Andrew meets Jesus first. And then he went and got his brother, Simon Peter. And he said, "Come and see. We found Christ." And then there's this, it was Andrew who found the boy with the bread. And when the Greeks came and said, "We would see Jesus," they spoke to Philip first. And Philip went and talked to Andrew. And Andrew was the one who introduced the Greeks to Jesus. And now he's introducing the boy with some loaves and fish. Not enough. "But this is all I found," is what he's saying. And Jesus said, "Get the people to sit down. It's what we have that's God's resource. Who we are is God's resource. But I'm like Moses so very often. It's not me, Lord, it's someone else." Sometimes I don't collect as many jars as I should. Just enough. But the amount of jars dictated the future for that lady and her sons. And the feeding of those 5,000 men, plus women and children, depended on Andrew introducing a young lad to Jesus. What have you got in your hand? What have you got in your house? What have you got that's available to Jesus? The people who responded, Moses, the woman and her sons, that young lad, Andrew, the disciples. And Jesus always does more than we expect. Go basket of bread. I'm kind of interested that the fish were all eaten. But there was bread left. 12 basketfuls. There was enough oil left for the widow and her sons to live on. And Moses led the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. Not without difficulty. God didn't say it's going to be easy. God said, "I want you to tell the Egyptians, to tell Pharaoh, let my people go." We're all chosen. God wants us to look at what we've got in our hand, what we've got in the house, what we can make available to him when we're out on the picnic. Suppose that's all the boy went out for that day, just to picnic. But in the hands of Jesus, amazing things are done if we're available to him.
We can sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," which is so appropriate. If we'll listen to it, walk with him, and be blessed by him.